Hello, and welcome to the Three Links Oddcast, your podcast for all things having to do with Odd Fellowship. And now, here are your hosts. Welcome, everyone, to the Three Links Oddcast. My name is Toby Hansen. I'm one of your hosts. Up next is Ainsley, who's going to introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Ainsley Heilig. I am a member of Tuscola 316 in Tuscola, Illinois. I'm a past grand, and I am on the website committee for the Grand Lodge of Illinois, and I am on the Sovereign Grand Lodge Communications Committee as the webmaster.
All right, and how about you, Sergio?
Hello, my name is Sergio, and I'm from Los Angeles Golden Rule Lodge 35 in Los Angeles, California. And I'm fairly new, so I'm just making my way into this this long journey, so I have lots to learn.
Well, we are...
I forgot to add, I'm also a grand musician for the second year now in Illinois, so I guess it'll be the third year because we just canceled Grand Lodge, so... I forgot that one.
That is a critically important job.
I know. I would be insulting you to not mention it.
And I, of course, am Toby Hansen. I am the Sovereign Grand Musician of the Independent Order of Odd Fellows, also a past Grand Master and past Grand Patriarch of Washington, and I belong to Ballard Alki Lodge number 170 in Seattle. So welcome, everybody. Welcome, brothers. Good to have you here with us this evening.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
So for those of you who are brand new to this, if you're listening to this podcast, you're either A, already an Odd Fellow and overjoyed at the fact that something high tech is happening in Odd Fellowship, or B, you're some curious person who is looking for the Pittsburgh Oddcast, and you're asking yourself, why aren't they talking about Pittsburgh? Well, there are a couple of other podcasts named The Oddcast, but this is the one for Odd Fellows of the card-carrying variety. And so to get things started here for our first episode of The Oddcast, we're going to talk about our individual experiences and how each of us came to be members of the Independent Order of Odd Fellows. And Brother Ainsley, why don't we start with you?
All right. So I think I've been a member for about, I think I just clicked over on 7 years, and 8.5 years ago, I moved to the Midwest from the East Coast, and me and my business partner, we purchased a building that had previously been an Odd Fellows Lodge. And it was actually kind of marketed as that, on the real estate listing. And I had no idea what Odd Fellows were. They just said it was some kind of Masonic type group. Cool. So we buy this building and there's this just giant room upstairs. And then the front half of the upstairs have been converted into an apartment. And that's where I reside, is in the front half. And so just doing some rummaging around whenever, you know, we were fresh in the building, and up in a crawl space, I found 24 collars just kind of tossed up into the rafters. So we get them a little bit cleaned up and check them out. And I'm just totally like, what is this stuff? And some of them had 316 on it. So I went online and hit that Googler. And as an older version of the Grand Lodge of Illinois website came up. And so I emailed the contact on there, and our Grand Secretary got back to me saying, you know, the lodge was Tuscola 316. These are the dates it was active. And I think 1953 is when the lodge had closed. So, okay, cool. So kind of going about my merry way. And then I started kind of getting a little bit more curious about it, because I'm just researching the history of my building and want to learn everything about my building. And I just kind of, that started me down the wormhole. And I ended up joining a lodge that is about like 15, 20 minutes away, and was a member there for about 1.5, 2 years. And it wasn't quite working out great. And I knew I wanted to get the lodge here going again. That was just a crazy idea I had. I just thought it'd be, you know, a really worthwhile project. And so 5 years ago, July, we reinstituted Tuscola 316 after a 65-year slumber. And so we're obviously having a setback right now because of the Rona, but that, you know, that's okay, because we all are. And, but like, yeah, it's just kind of going down that wormhole and just wanting to get more out of the experience and seeing how there were things in Odd Fellowship that my talents could maybe assist with. So I started kind of just butting my nose in everybody's business, asking if there's something I could help with. And then I met another Odd Fellow online who lives in Arkansas. And several years ago, we got the crazy notion to start a blog. So we started the Heart and Hand blog several years ago. And so, and that's how I got to be good, you know, friends with Toby, was through, you know, him sending in submissions and us just chatting online. And so, yeah, so oddfellowsguide.com is the blog that, you know, we still have people, just to throw a little plug in there. And yeah, so it's really great. It's been a great way to meet people all over the world. And it kind of fills that niche that of people contact, but like kind of not super deep interactions, but satisfying interactions that, you know, that I missed since not having marching band anymore. Like that was like one of my favorite things in school was marching band, and that camaraderie, that feeling of working together towards a common goal, even though it's people you might not get along with in your normal daily life. And that's kind of that hole it fills for me.
Well, that's great. What would you say are some of the other things? You mentioned that sense of camaraderie that you get and being around people and getting to do things. What are some other things you think you've gotten from the experience of being an Odd Fellow?
I tell people all the time that the things you learn are in the most unexpected places with Odd Fellowship. And I have learned a tremendous amount of skills that you really only learn the hard way. They don't really teach in school, like things like interpersonal skills with people that are not people you work with. So you don't have that same obligation to be polite to them other than our obligation as Odd Fellows. And we're all doing this as volunteers. So we're going to be doing a lot of work that is not always fun and not always pleasant. And it's hard and it's time consuming and it's demanding. And it's like, we're not getting paid for any of this. Why am I here? And that's where you kind of start really thinking about what am I getting out of this? And you start seeing the bigger lessons and the bigger picture of why we're all here doing this thing that a lot of times it's fun and socializing, but there's this deeper thing that, you know, comes by working the philosophy of friendship, love, and truth, and really putting that to work and really learning a lot more about yourself and challenging yourself to be a better person. So it's a form of self-improvement for me too. So
I think that's a great answer. And in my experience, I would agree with that. I think that's a really valuable aspect of this. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. So, Brother Sergio, let's hear about your experience, what led you to Odd Fellowship and your experience in joining.
So I originally stumbled upon it. I was in the process of pursuing the Freemason route. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, during talking with them, they wanted me to kind of get a feel for different lodges, because every lodge has their own flavor and distinct environment. So as I was researching and doing that, I stumbled upon Odd Fellowship. So there wasn't really too much activity in my part of the state, not like Northern California where Davis and Mountain View and everything is. On the southern part of California, it's actually not too active as far as the other larger ones in Northern California. So I actually ended up trying to reach out to some of the smaller lodges and didn't get too much feedback. And I reached out to the Silver and Grand Lodge, actually. And they guided me to the California Grand Lodge, who then guided me to another lodge in my location. So I ended up meeting some brothers from America Lodge 385, and at the same time, some brothers from Los Angeles Golden Rule finally got in contact with me, and then we started that dialogue and everything.
Okay.
So that means you talked to me when you sent that first email.
And how I found out about it. It was originally for something else. More than likely, yeah. I just sent it out there and then to my state. So I went to the top.
Yeah. So
yeah, I'm the one that answers all the emails.
Yes, Brother Ainsley is on the communications committee for the Sovereign Grand Lodge. So he's the one when you email info@theoddfellows.org or whatever the email address is, he's the one who gets it, and he refers you to your local Grand Lodge or a local lodge in the area. Or, like he frequently does with me, he contacts me and says, Toby, who is there in your part of the country that I can refer this person to? And so I know the lodges around the Pacific Northwest really well. I've traveled a lot in this area as an Odd Fellow, so I usually know the right person in the right lodge in the area. So I can get somebody to say Portneuf number 20 in Pocatello, Idaho. It seems that there have been a lot of people in eastern Idaho wanting to join the Odd Fellows recently. So that's really great, because Sergio, that demonstrates how a lot of people are coming to Odd Fellowship right now. They hear about it, they see it. Maybe it's on American Pickers, maybe it's on some other website that they see, or they drive past the building downtown that says IOOF at the top and they wonder what it is. They go home and they Google it, or Bing it if you prefer that search engine. And then they come to the Sovereign Grand Lodge page, and they're like, whoa, what is this? They email for information, and it goes to Brother Ainsley, and then he's able to refer those inquiries to the local place. I can tell you, in my area, here in the Pacific Northwest, we have gotten some really, really great members as a result of people searching out and trying to find a lodge that they can join. And since we're waiting a bit for Sergio to reconnect here, Brother Ainsley, why don't you tell us about your experience as the chair, not the chair, but as a member of the committee who answers those emails? What is your experience like guiding people to membership?
It goes usually one of two ways. It goes either swimmingly when I have a good contact. And me networking with the members is imperative for what I do, because I can't just refer people to their grand secretary of their jurisdiction, unfortunately, because there does sadly seem to be a major communication issue where people will send an email and they just go unanswered, or a phone call or anything, and they just go unanswered. So I've had to have a series of alternates that I use for certain areas for contacts, and there's a lot of areas where I do not have an alternate. But I know for some of those certain jurisdictions, I'm able to rely on people like you, Toby, because you're in neighboring jurisdictions and you are a reliable person who knows a reliable person to send somebody to who will answer them back. And that's really what my job is to try to either, if I don't know an answer, I know a good, reliable person in that area who hopefully, ideally, will contact them back. And unfortunately, I do get a lot of down the road a month or so, people messaging back and being like, hey, just so you know, I never heard back from anybody, you know, and it just stabs me right through. And I don't want to call out any jurisdictions right now, but there definitely it's something to, you know, really aggressively, you know, get the grand secretaries or whoever's at that, you know, Grand Lodge office to get a website, you know, just get a small little website with a lodge directory with the contact information for those lodges. Like, that's first things first. You know, get an email where, if it's the correct email, make sure it's the correct email on our IOOF.org. You know, make sure your jurisdiction information is correct. So that way, when I'm referring people, I'm giving them the correct information and not something from a grand secretary who died 5 years ago. And whoever has been Grand Secretary since hasn't bothered to log on to the database and update their jurisdictional information. Yeah, that's my rant.
Hey, that's a good rant. That's going to set us up for one of our future episodes where we talk about some of the roadblocks to getting new members in the order. But yes. Looks like we got Brother Sergio back online here.
Yeah, I just wanted to also jump in really quick because since I now have know the person who responded so quick to my initial email, I just wanted to say that really did make a big impression, because when I tried to reach out, there's not a lot of lodges that are on the internet as active. So that was kind of like that make or break moment for me where, okay, if I went to the top and I didn't hear anything back at that point, then, you know, maybe I should just kind of continue on my original route. So, I mean, kudos. And that really did make a big impression, especially for somebody where I'm at. There's not really... You know, there's really not a big presence, and it's, you really have to want to pursue it to join. Because in my part, half the work is just finding a lodge that still has, some life to it. And then, hopefully everybody in there is a good fit. So, just thank you. That really did.
Thank you. Yeah. I try really hard to abide by like the sundown rule with emails, where I try to get back to them by sundown the next business day. And so just because I don't like emails piling up on me. So, I mean, I'm literally like, I could have been like sitting on the toilet when I replied to you for all I know, you know, like
I thought I smelled something when I opened the email.
Like I will literally, like if I got a few minutes in between something, if I'm waiting in line, like at the grocery store, and I'm like just waiting to check out, I'll, you know, because a lot of the emails fall into like a handful of categories, and a lot of them I could just copy paste my pre-written blurb, and then it just maybe requires a little bit of like meat filler in the sandwich. So like for years I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna go get the contact page URL for California and send that over to you, and then I could maybe look on their map and be like, okay, where you're living, it looks like there's a couple lodges, this is where they are, and then try to send that as well. So that way I could try to be as efficient as possible, and just knowing what information to get people. Sometimes it's actually like pretty difficult. And that's when I go onto the community page on Facebook, and just I'll put like hive mind, and then I'll just type in my question, and then whatever somebody answers me. So
yes, that's the appropriate. Awesome. That's the appropriate response for Rebecca, is to look for the hive mind.
Exactly. That's why it's a perfect term, you know, because there's always a Rebecca that knows the answer.
That's right. Rebeccas are good for that. And also Jell-O with shredded vegetables in it.
Oh, my.
So before Sergio got bumped off of his network, we were talking about his journey into Odd Fellowship. How long have you been a member now, brother?
It's not quite a year. It'll be a year in November. So I started initially, I think it was the end of August, beginning of September. So that was kind of that period of me just initially reaching out. I believe it was probably later on in September that I got more dialogue going and everything. So from there, probably by October, I was already kind of setting up the whole initiation. I had already had the meeting and everything. And when I did my initiation, I was fortunate that I did it at America Lodge 385. And they actually had other lodges. So I believe it was Costa Mesa. I believe there was one other one from Orange County, and then it was my lodge, LA Golden Rule, where I was being initiated. So they actually had the full regalia, the whole shebang and everything. So it was
as it should be.
Yeah, it was very nice. Like they went all out with the just, you know, everything that degree brings with it. So I want to say that was kind of like the final nail in the coffin, if you will. And I was hooked at that point.
Nice.
Well, that's great. So you've been a member now for almost a year. And as someone who is still really new to this, What are some of your observations? What are some things that you're seeing in Odd Fellowship, either that you like, you think could be improved? Give us some feedback on this.
Oh, wow. It's a good thing I drank some water. So with this whole order, I noticed in my part, you know, Masons are a huge, huge presence here. Like, they have their game on lock, as far as I'm concerned, with different varieties and flavors. But also Elks, too. They have a pretty big presence here. But Odd Fellows, not so much. I mean, when I started going into it, I started seeing some similarities, but I also kind of saw how it was its own unique animal. So some of the first things I noticed was just, you know, how small a presence there was, and how the lodge I belong to is actually like the oldest lodge in Southern California. And yet, you know, I don't see, if they didn't get new members, how they would last much longer, unfortunately, especially this was before everything that happened. So, being born and raised here, I saw like a piece of history that I could still try to at least do my part to try to keep active before it kind of went into the history books. So seeing that, and then, you know, meeting the members and seeing how everybody was really friendly, and that just kind of motivated me, because there wasn't really too much lodge activities or anything, just because my lodge is, you know, very, everybody's older, you know, the average age is like 70s, like typical.
Yeah.
So I am one of the youngest, and the other brother in my lodge, who I just introduced to the Facebook group, we actually have the same birthday, exactly, same year, same day and everything. So, that's also a good sign. So that was one of the things that kind of kept me going, was that I saw this had so much potential, but yet I couldn't quite wrap my mind around how it kind of was let go to where it, you know, it could have easily faded into obscurity on its own. So once I had the initiation and I started networking, that's what I felt like this really needed. It was just some fresh ideas, some new blood, and hopefully, you know, get it going and save this lodge and a little bit of history and everything as well.
Excellent. Well, it's time to tell my story now. I got both of y'all beat, because on July 13th of this year, I will be a 20-year Odd Fellow. I joined Ballard Alki Lodge number 170 in Seattle, Washington, on July 13th of 2000. And my road to Odd Fellowship, I think, has some important lessons that it's good to share. Because here's what happened. 98, I graduated from college. I'm a musician. I got a music degree. You know, even though I knew it doomed me to a life of abject poverty, I still went to college and got a music degree and graduated. So then I get out of college in 98. I'm going around and starting to build a network, because Ainsley, you can probably speak to this. When you are a freelancer of any kind, a musician, a tattoo artist, whatever it is you do, you need to have a community of people who are familiar with your work, because that's how you get your referrals to do your work. So yes. I was out building that network of referrals, and a trumpet player that I met named Rudy Harper, he called me up. He says, hey, I'm doing a meeting next week with a guy from Fremont Baptist Church. He's also on the board of Arts Ballard. He's a good guy. You should know him around town. His name is Vern Eck. Okay, cool. So I went to the meeting, you know, coffee shop downtown Seattle. We sit there for about an hour and a half and talk about the music business and what we're doing, what Rudy wants to do, what I want to do, what Vern is doing in his various artistic pursuits. Then at the end of the meeting, Brother Vern, he said, you know, Toby, I belong to a group, and I think you'd be a good member. So oh, what group is that? He says, well, I belong to the Odd Fellows. And I was like, the what? The Odd Fellows, the Independent Order of Odd Fellows. I'm like, you mean like the big building up on the hill there? He's like, yeah, like that, only they don't meet there anymore. They're over in Ballard, which is a neighborhood in Seattle. And so I'm like, okay, what do you do? And he said, well, you know, we do some charitable stuff and, you know, just we're generally good people and we do things. And I said, well, okay, I like good things. I'll join. So he had an application on hand, which we should all have. And he pulled it out. I filled it out and I paid my initiation fee, gave it to him. Well, that was summer of 1998. So then 2 years go by and I have not heard anything. I don't know anyone else to contact. It's not easy getting a hold of Vern because he's a busy guy. May of 2000, I get a call from someone who says, yeah, is this Toby? Yeah, it is. This is John Michael Greer. I'm the secretary of Ballard Alki Lodge number 170 in Seattle. We have an application you filled out 2 years ago. Do you still want to join? I said, well, yeah, I've waited 2 years. Of course I still want to join. And so he said, great, you know, come over to the lodge in a couple of weeks. We will do an interview with you. If we like you, we'll vote on you, and then we'll let you know how it goes from there. So they apparently liked me, and I was voted in June, and then they initiated me July 13th of 2000. So coming up here in another month, I will have been an Odd Fellow for 20 years.
Awesome.
Nice.
So the important lesson of this is lodges will always say the same thing. Every lodge will say, oh, we need members. We are desperate. We need members. Okay. But the thing that lodges tend to forget, I've seen this a lot, and having been a Grand Master in my state, I visited every single lodge, some of them several times. And there's a tendency to develop tunnel vision where you only think about what's going on inside your lodge. So the only access point for information coming in is the member who checks the mail before each meeting. They forget that lodges are dynamic groups of people. They have to check email. They have to check phones. You know, and now we have all sorts of different social media. You know, there's Facebook and there's Instagram, there's Reddit. I was on the Odd Fellows Reddit group today, and I saw there was a post from someone in Florida. They wanted to join, and this person said, hey, are there any IOOF lodges in Florida? And someone else came back and said, no, there are no IOOF lodges in Florida. You have to join the Grand United Order.
So they're
Florida's
not to it.
And I'm not going to divulge who it was who recommended the Grand United Order. And we love our brothers in the Grand United Order, but yes, I did respond and say, actually there are Odd Fellows lodges in the IOOF in Florida. There's a Grand Secretary, and I posted the link to the Florida website. And someone else commented on the thread and said, hey, I'm in the Broward County area. Are there any lodges here? And I said, well, you know, you see the information, contact the Grand Secretary of Florida, and he or she can direct you to a local lodge in your area. That is the critical part of this. Lodges forget that there are literally people sitting out there in their homes waiting to be Odd Fellows, but they don't know the path. And unless lodges remember to always keep the path open, it's hard for those people looking to get in to complete the path.
And especially like you and me and any of us can go on Facebook or make videos or podcasts or write blog posts until we're blue in the face to direct people and get people interested. But once they try to get to where they need to go and there's nothing, then we've already failed them.
Yeah.
Or once they get in the door and then that lodge is a hot mess and is totally not functioning and we failed them there. And we're promising an experience that a lot of lodges are unable to provide right now or unwilling to provide.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other topic for a whole other podcast. But
write that down, true. Sergio. We need that for a future episode.
I'm on it. Got my book.
Excellent.
Yeah, but it is very true because, like, I created before everything with the Rona occurred, I had started a Reddit page. I did a Facebook page as well, and an Instagram. And then I also found myself in the position where I had people coming from California asking me, oh, is there this? Is there that? And I was just like, oh, well, first of all, why couldn't you be at least 50 miles closer? And then it's just kind of like having to get them ready for that journey too, because I can only tell them so much, because when California, it's kind of, you know, one side is set up a little bit better than the other. So us on the southern end, we just have a lot more work on our hands as far as getting the lodges and everybody. So that's definitely like a very valid point, is trying to network. And that's one of the reasons why I went on to Facebook, and I'm glad that that Michael introduced me to the group, and I got to meet everybody, because that just kind of gives you more information, and with that you could kind of spread it on to other people who are trying to join and trying to see, not necessarily join, but at least see if this is something for themselves. So it's always good.
Yeah. I like to think of it as a relay race. The first leg of the relay race is someone who has interest. And then you have to handle that handoff of the baton at every point in the relay race. If everyone does their part, it ends with a new member getting initiated, and we have successfully spread our message of Odd Fellowship. What tends to happen a lot in my experience is somebody's interested. They're really excited about it. I had someone on Instagram who was really interested in Walla Walla, where we used to have a lodge in Washington. She wanted to get involved, and I talked to her, and I said, the lodge in Walla Walla closed. It closed 5 years ago. The building has been condemned for toxic waste. They're going to dig it up and renovate it and then turn it into a boutique hotel where it'll cost $300 a night and you'll get a free bottle of wine with it. And she was disappointed by that, because if there had been something active in Walla Walla at that time, I could have said, yes, they meet Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, go talk to Brother Craig, and he will tell you how to join the lodge. But I couldn't do that. There was nothing there. And so I told her, I said, 50 miles away, there's a lodge. If you go over the border into Oregon, 20 miles that way, there's a lodge. There's nothing in Walla Walla. So you got to be able to hand it off. Now, here is a great example. And I'm going to brag up on Brother Ainsley here.
No, please.
A couple years ago, while I was Deputy Grand Master here in Washington, we had a lodge in Wenatchee, which is smack dab in the middle of the state, right on the Columbia River, kind of a hard scrabble, blue collar fruit packing town. And the lodge was just, you know, like maybe 6 months away from being completely dead. And it so happened that somebody in Wenatchee, who had gone to punk rock shows at the Oddfellows Hall when he was a teenager, wanted to join the lodge. But the building in downtown Wenatchee was looking very decrepit. There were no lights. There were no signs. There was nothing that said, call this number to join the Oddfellows. So he reached out via Instagram, found Ainsley. Ainsley reached out to me, and I got in touch with this guy. And turns out he's an artist, a very talented artist, by the way, does great work. And so I was able to get him into the lodge. He's been one of the people who has helped save that lodge and turn it around. They are now very active in their community, and they're attracting new members. Odd Fellowship is growing again in Wenatchee, and that's because we had that successful relay race from the initial interest, making the inquiries, and then getting that information to the people who can finally get that person initiated and into the lodge.
And that's what's so important, because it's that one person who could make the difference. So, you know, some people might say like, oh, you know, that's just one person. We'll get the next one. Well, you know, you never know that opportunity has left until you're kind of like, oh, well, that could have been something.
Yeah, hopefully the lodge hangs on long enough to get that next person.
Yes.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, because that survival of lodges is never guaranteed. I've been around long enough to see the ebb and flow, to see how some lodges become really active and how other lodges just sort of fall away and people become complacent. They think, oh, we're always the two or three people who put on the events. We don't want to do it anymore. We're tired of this. You know, let's just not worry about it anymore. And so lodges, if nothing's going on, if there's no compelling reason to be there, people are not going to come. So yeah. it's important to have that drive, that energy. You know, I love it when I walk into the lodge room and I see my brothers and sisters there, and everyone is genuinely happy to see me and happy to be there. That is a great feeling. There is a.
Well, I wish I had that at my house when I walked in.
Quarantine is tough on all of us, brother.
I was like, oh, God, the same people. Man.
But, you know, we have a particular kind of belonging in the Oddfellows, and I think that is super valuable. And that, more than anything, is what I would communicate to people. If you want to feel valued, if you want to feel like you are part of something that is really meaningful, the way to do that is to join your local Oddfellows Lodge. It's to go out there, meet those people, and become active in what they're doing. And if they're not active with something, get some ideas and start to get them active. You know, not every lodge has its own building. So go out for a spaghetti dinner on Friday nights. There's a lodge down on the Columbia River on the Oregon-Washington border. It's in the town of White Salmon, Washington. And they go out to pizza once a month together as a group. So when I was in the town and I went to get pizza, they asked me, you know, what are you doing here in our town? I said, well, I'm here to visit the Oddfellows Lodge. Everybody at the pizza parlor said, oh, yeah, the Oddfellows. They come in on Friday nights and have pizza.
You know, oh, you must have got chills with those pepperonis in, huh?
I did. And, you know, they claim to have the best pizza in the Columbia Gorge. Mm. I can't verify because I've not had any other pizza in the gorge, but it was pretty darn good.
I got to keep that in mind. Next trip, whenever we could travel about again.
Yeah. So we as Oddfellows, we have that very kind of particular, deep, meaningful, validating sense of belonging. That's one of my absolute favorite parts of this whole thing.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we've pretty much covered our introduction on this podcast. So now all of you listeners know who we are and how we got to be where we're at. So for the next episode, we're going to be talking about Odd Fellowship and what's going on locally in each of our areas, because we each represent a different part of the country. Ainsley is back there in beautiful Table Flat, Illinois.
Yes.
Where if somebody stacked a couple of 2x4s side by side, that would count as a hill.
And I am in the flattest county in Illinois as well.
Really?
That is amazing. The flattest county in Illinois. That's like the rockiest mountain of the Rocky Mountains.
Except the opposite.
Yes, and then we've got Brother Sergio down there in beautiful Los Angeles, California, and I'm up here in the Pacific Northwest, so we're going to get a chance to talk about what's going on in our areas. Of course, with coronavirus, not a lot going on, but still, we'll give you a little glimpse into what's going on here. And at the end of our lodge meetings, we have a segment called Good of the Order. So here for the Three Links Oddcast, we're going to do a segment at the end called the Odd Podge. So, brothers, if you have anything you would like to share for any reason whatsoever, this is your chance. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
Thank you.
I have it, brother.
I have the perfect thing for this, and I was so excited when this happened last night. So I got to set this up a little bit.
Okay.
So this kind of gets into some conspiracy theory stuff, right?
Oh, we need a good conspiracy theory for
yeah.
us.
So I already shared this with you guys last night on the thread. Yeah. So a friend of mine in Pennsylvania, who's also a tattoo artist, a guy she works with is like super like a believer in all the conspiracies. And so this client of hers sends her like a shot of like a website saying it's like a conspiracy theory about George Floyd actually being dead for 3 years and it's all fake. And the Masonic Lodge right here proves it. And then it shows a picture of an IOOF building. And then next to it, they show a picture of, you know, the Three Links with the Independent Order of Odd Fellows and the eye and all that kind of stuff. Jess sends it to me because she sees the Odd Fellows thing on it. And she's like, aha, look at this stuff. And I start laughing because I'm like, that's my artwork. Conspiracy theory website. This is awesome. And I'm like, who sent it? And so she tells me he sent it to me. And it gets even weirder. The person that sent it to her is the daughter of somebody that I used to work with when I worked in a bank in New Jersey.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So it's like this whole, it's like conspiracy confirmed, you know?
Yeah.
So I was waiting for her to show her coworker guy what he thought about this whole Masonic connection conspiracy theory thing, and then wait for him for his thoughts. And then she's going to be like, well, that stuff there, that's not even Masonic. That's the Odd Fellows. They're nothing to do with the Masons. It's a total organization. And I told her, that's a ghost lodge. That lodge isn't active. That's something totally different. Somebody else owns that building now. So A, it's not Masonic. It's Odd Fellows. B, that's a ghost lodge. C, I designed the artwork that's on that they use to put on the conspiracy theory page. D, I know the guy that's going to be freaking out about this, so he's going to think I'm part of the deep state now. And then D, it was sent to me by the daughter of an old coworker from over a decade ago.
I can only imagine how that conversation must have ended. Did the person, like, after you dropped all this on them, did they walk away and like, oh, so you're going to have me believe that Elvis died on this toilet too? Like, get out of here. Like, I'm out.
No, she was dying. She thought it was so funny. Yeah. And we were just, we were on FaceTime when she sent it to me. So of course, like we got to in time react to each other. And it was just, it was just one of those things that like, she's like, oh, haha, look at this. I think you'll appreciate it. And then it just got way bigger. But wow. I feel like I made it as an artist that like something of mine was picked up and put on a conspiracy. It was like a bucket list goal I never knew I had. So that's my Odd Podge for the night.
Well, you know, brother, in the music business, we say you haven't really made it until you found one of your albums for sale at a yard sale. And I had that experience one time. I was which is a suburb of Seattle. It's about 30 minutes east of there. And my wife's family are all from Issaquah. And she has deep roots going back several generations there. So we're looking through, you know, piles of CDs in this yard sale in town in Issaquah. And I go and I'm like, hey, look at this, dear. It's my face on the cover. It was a copy of my Tom and Toby Show album from 1999.
You're like, how much? Like,
I can die happy now. I have been resold.
It's almost like me finding like a vintage Karma t-shirt at the like the Goodwill.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, and then of course I didn't buy it, but I wanted to like ask the guy, only 50 cents for this? Do you realize how good this is? 50 cents. You should be asking like $30 for this. It's that good.
It's a rare pressing.
He was probably just waiting for you to sign it at that point before he forked out the 30.
Well, you know, I had another weird encounter sort of like that. The first year that my wife and I were together in 2004, before we got married, we went off to Salt Lake City to visit a friend of mine who had gotten married. And she got married back in New York, but then she had a reception for her family in Salt Lake City. So she says, "Hey, Toby, come on down, see the family, visit." I'm like, "Okay, this will be fun." So I took my new girlfriend with me at the time, who I later married. We happened to stop at the Saltaire Resort, which is on the Great Salt Lake, just west of Salt Lake City. And we're walking around in this nearly empty pavilion because, you know, it's like a Tuesday afternoon and nothing's going on there. And this one woman happens to walk by us, and she has a t-shirt on that says Peace, Love, and Polkas. And then she turns around and she walks back by us and looks one more time, and then walks away. So my wife goes into the ladies' room, and this woman happened to be in there, and this woman comes up to my wife, girlfriend at the time. She says, who is that that you're with out there?" "Well, that's Toby Hansen. Why do you care who I'm with?" It's like, "He's the accordion player, right?" "Yeah, he is. Why? How do you know of him?" Well, it turns out she happened to be a fan of polka music and had seen me in one of my very rare appearances outside the Pacific Northwest. She had some of my CDs, and so she actually recognized me there at this very obscure location in Utah.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
That's something that goes down in the journal right there.
Yes, it does. No, that's my odd podge for this episode, is that I was recognized by a stranger in Utah. Brother Sergio, you got anything to top that?
No, I actually wish I would have gone first at this point.
Raise your hand first next time. You've learned.
Oh, yes. No, I'm going to send an email just to reserve the spot in advance. So.
Yeah.
I don't have anything per se. I just, I'll think of something next time. The only thing I could think of is, I hope that we get more people to come in, and we get to hear more stories like this. And I think I'll be a little bit more prepared. This time I was just kind of get a feel for you guys, see which way the wind blows. So luckily it's right up my dress, so we're good.
Perfect.
Ooh, refreshing.
Perfect. That's exactly what we want you to feel refreshed here on this show.
A refreshing breeze.
That's right.
All right. Well, next podcast, we're going to be talking about what's going on in Odd Fellowship in our areas. If you like it, subscribe, because you never know. In another year and a half, we could be famous and Ira Glass could be interviewing us. You never know, guys. It could happen. I think that's as good as it gets in podcasting, is you get Ira Glass talking to you. "Yes, this week on This American Life, we're going to talk to podcasters who are also Odd Fellows. I'm Ira Glass."
So that's, and I'm asleep.
That's basically our goal, is to become famous podcasters and to make the Odd Fellows the biggest fraternal order in the entire world. So on behalf of everyone, I'm Toby Hansen and Ainsley Heilick and Sergio Paredes, and we are saying thank you for listening.